Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. What is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I Googled, are chastity belts real?
Like now?
Were they ever a thing?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Were they?
And yes. Where can I get one? What did you learn?
They're not real.
They're not.
They're not real.
Okay.
So chastity belts in general are real. They're mostly used for fetish play now.
Okay. Right.
But the ones that we see, like the one in,
Robin Hood Men in Tights.
It's in Everlast.
Is like the idea of a chastity belt was actually like really similarly used as in that movie as a joke. So basically, right. People would be like, "Oh, put on your chastity belt. I'm going to war." And right. Women would be like, "Ha ha ha! You're oppressing me," and like let it lie.
I hope you fucking get an arrow through the eye.
While you're gone, I'm gonna fuck
I'm
everyone
fucking the
here.
Stable boy.
So yeah, they're not like, and the ones that you see in like, you know, those like museums of
torture
erotic,
museums
whatever.
Or right.
Yeah, right. So they're either torture devices mm-hmm. or they are devices made for the prurient, which is like people that, it's a kind of a derogatory term for people that are like sexually deviant, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, they were either made for like conversation pieces where right. like a collector would be like, "Oh, look at my piece" or whatever.
Right.
But all of those were actually made in the 1800s or later and not during medieval times.
That's interesting.
So that's the kind of stuff I Google.
Damn.
It's interesting. Like, yeah, there, a lot of things from history are jokes that we just forgot were jokes.
I think we forgot that that historically people have had humor. Like right. We're just like, oh, well, that had to be real. But
right. Sex and humor. I guess we kind of make room for sex, but like there's a like, yeah, I don't think we make a lot of jokes. We tend to put the little fig leaf over the sex parts. We think it's all uptight people, and like, in actuality, Puritan society had to have all those rules because people were like fucking everywhere in Puritan society, like in the bushes. You'd be walking down the street and people would be fucking in the bushes. And yeah, Napoleon was not short. That was a rumor made to make fun of him. He was of average height. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just like,
I feel like a chump. Yeah. I've been believing this my whole life.
Well, you look really ridiculous right now. I'm not going to lie to you. I can't believe you believe that
on the internet.
Whoa. Should we release this episode?
It was my writer that I would not be embarrassed.
I'm going to exercise the clause that says I can explode this episode and we don't have to do this.
Yeah, but I agree. People, like, when you look back at graffiti back in the day, it's all dick jokes and like stuff that could be out of, you know, a high school locker room now.
Yeah, or even like people that look back on things in history and try and look at it through a super heteronormative lens, when they're like, like King James had a very best friend that he had a secret like passageway from his bedroom to.
Oh,
his
shit, like
secret
in the
best
favorite?
Friend's bedroom. Yeah, exactly. It was like that, for real. And I was researching about this, and the King James Bible was actually made because the church was kind of like getting in his business for him being pretty openly gay with his lover. And he was like, here's a fun thing that you can do that will distract you. Why don't you make a new Bible? And they were like, yay!
That's like, amazing.
Got him.
So, yeah.
There you go. Speaking of college, my college days at least, let's talk about natural light.
Oh, boy.
Because Natty Light is...
Were you in a frat?
I was not, but I drank too much.
But I was in college.
And for as cheaply as possible.
Yeah. Or Milwaukee's best. Yeah, that was the other one.
Yeah, so they posted a job opening, and we have a quick clip from the video that they posted. It's very
very Gen Z. Just listen to this. It's, you know, it's shot sort of like that Dollar Shave Club video where it's like one guy, long shot, walking through and being like, hi, I'm this guy.
Imagine that without charisma or production value or comedy writing.
Or color
spoil
correcting.
It. Or color correcting.
Yes.
Here at Natty Light, we do things a little differently. While some people print their resumes on paper, we put ours on a race car.
It's a NASCAR.
That's why today we're excited to announce the first ever national search for the Natty Light Summer Intern. Now, when typical brands look for interns, they look for stuff like a ton of work experience, 4.0 GPA, and amazing references. Maybe they want you to have made the dean's list. Maybe you need to know how to use a protractor. But here at Natty, we believe greatness is more than just a piece of paper. I don't need a reference from your aunt just because she has a different last name than you. How do you even spell protractor? And who the f*** is Dean anyway? I mean,
Yeah, man.
Sick.
You know, for the sick kids.
More like Natty Lit.
Yeah, Natty Tight. Natty as fuck, bruh. Yeah, the posting on Indeed.
Is he wearing a backwards hat?
No, but he's wearing like a really cool Natty Light graphic tee.
Yeah.
And the office like looks like a parody of itself, where it's like beer box towers and just really cool young people figuring out how
just
to get people to drink more Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, right.
But the way on Indeed, like the job posting board, the way it's even described is in such like Gen Z talk, it says Natural Light Summer Intern, paid internship, position description, attend various events as an ambassador of the brand, okay, create fire viral content across all Natural Light social channels, keep the brand manager up to date on trending trends. Yeah, thank you. Guerrilla marketing. Damn. If you have to ask, you can't handle it. Product research.
What?
Yes, wow. It's what you think it is. Design some sick swag that gives consumers all the feels. And complete weekly vlog documenting the awesomeness on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So, yeah.
Wow, so
yeah,
cringy.
The like, you know, when it says qualifications, that's also pretty cool. The desire to be part of the business and culture that is Natty / live the Natty brand lifestyle and be a Natty brand supporter. Attention to detail. Did I notice
I love after all.
Microsoft Word proficient.
But it says, but detail is misspelled D-E-T-I-A-L. And then the next one says, did you notice I misspelled detail? If you did, please apply.
Whoa.
Be Be outgoing, but not annoying. There is a fine line.
Oh, God.
Be able to spell protractor. Call back to the video.
Sick.
Confidence is a must. Basic math and computer and meme-making skills. And also, just be cool.
Just be cool.
That's all we want.
Yeah, just be chill.
Yeah. So, you know, good opportunity for Gen Z kids to make the fire content for Anheuser-Busch.
But then how, I mean, is that internship actually going to involve any of that stuff, or is it literally just going to be making photocopies?
I have a feeling it's just a straight up like social media internship where they're like, can you like steal some shit off Reddit and make it about
beer?
Can you
fuck Jerry some memes?
Yeah, exactly. And then they're like, oh, this could have been more fire, Caleb. Could have been more fire. You're on a tightrope, my man.
It sounds like it's geared towards 12-year-olds. Do you even have to be in college to apply for this?
Yes, I hope so. I mean, I think so.
I don't know.
I mean, brand research or whatever.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, product testing.
You'd
hope.
But then hope at that point, if you're 21, you're basically going into your senior year of college.
Right.
Where
also,
a Natty Light internship might not be the best choice for you.
Does Natty Light care about the quality of their product? Like it needs to be tested?
I think they're all
her
about
taste.
Race cars.
Yeah. I mean, I think they get it. They're like, look, you drink Natty because you're in college and it's the cheapest fucking thing you can get.
Yeah, because it's basically water that gets you drunk.
Jesse, what you have to understand is Natty Light is a lifestyle. Okay?
Yeah, please bro-splain to her, man. It's a lifestyle.
What if your race car crashes because someone put a resume on the window?
Trying to read it.
Yeah. Well, I can just imagine the sort of internalized, they're like, just be cool. And they assume that that's an objective quality that you can just strive towards rather than your weird subjective opinion of like what's cool.
And does just be cool mean like don't call out any like misogynistic or problematic racist shit you might
definitely.
Hear in the office. Just fucking say nothing.
I think you're
and don't tweet about it. You're cool, right?
Yeah.
I would be in the bathroom all day just looking in the mirror like, be cooler. Be cooler. Get back out there and be cool.
Slapping yourself.
You can do it.
Meme wasn't cool, actually. You guys write on a comedy show.
Prove it.
It's a great comedy show. And we wanted to play a clip from another comedy show and just get your thoughts. It is the Mike Huckabee comedy show.
Oh, God. I submitted to that and I didn't get it.
Well, we know the head writer, Chip Hinkleman.
Yes.
So if you're listening, Chip. I think.
Big fan of his work.
It's good to have you because we always like to see, you know, there's always these attempts from conservative media to have their version of the Daily Show or a late night show where they're like, wait till we hit them with our scathing monologue.
Right. This is our SNL.
So the right released their own Daily Show in the past couple months and it's actually impossible to watch and comment on, or at least we tried, and it's so, I don't know, it was just, it's so unrecognizable as comedy that we couldn't do anything other than just be like, gosh.
It was like saying
so sad.
Problematic shit with like in the tempo of a joke.
Right.
And I don't know about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but I think she's a socialist.
Right.
And then laughter.
Do you know, I was going to ask if they tape in front of a live audience.
Oh, no. Well, Huckabee does. So he's on TBN. Trinity Broadcasting Network.
Oh, yes.
The name of the Father, the Son, and the Tremendous
and
Prophets.
And the capitalism. Yeah.
So his show is on Saturdays, and it's like a weekly roundup show where they talk about the show as like having inspiring stories, a bit of fun and politics and values kind of thing. And it's basically your typical show that has a monologue, some desk stuff, a guest, and then like some stand-up who's like 900 years old who's talking about doilies. Which isn't a joke. So because we have the honor of having the writers of Conan here, we would love your input on these monologue jokes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just in general, what you think. Maybe we can punch them up or something. But
sure.
I was in one of the most beautiful, clean, and hospitable cities in the world. You knew I hadn't spent the past week in Washington, D.C. All six of my grandchildren have been at my house during their spring break. They range in age from 1 to 6. I've come to realize they're all Russians. They meddle in everything, not just elections.
You should have said the metal part. They're meddling and then say the Russians.
Right.
Yeah.
Other than that, I thought it was flawless.
Well, it's funny because the live audience doesn't know where to laugh, so they're laughing at the fact that he has grandkids.
All six of my grandkids.
One through six.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, see, that was a good note.
So that was
meddling before The Russians.
Right. The Russians is right. The punchline, yeah.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to reach out to them and see if I can help.
Okay, here's another one.
That was best of Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, we're looking at a clip that his show put out on the internet called Mike Huckabee's Best Jokes of 2018.
Right. Okay.
So let's hear another one.
Okay. Well, maybe my grandkids aren't actually perfect, but they're just closer to it than yours. Okay, most economists amuse me. They really do. They're like Baptists, about whom we say, where there are two or more gathered, there are at least seven different opinions.
That's more of an inside Christianity joke.
I was going to say, I'm not around a lot of Baptists, I realize.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
I'd be on the...
That might be a Baptist.
Baptists are opinionated? Is that...
Right. Yeah. So. I mean, yeah. Because there's so many. I think sects of Christianity, and then baptism is its own vibe.
And he's comparing that to economists, right?
Yeah. Because economists
are like Baptists, that they're very opinionated.
Yeah. That like even if you get two of them, they're going to have seven opinions. On the economy or the Fed or interest rates.
It's a niche.
Yeah.
It's
very niche.
Yeah.
Right.
A little too esoteric. Okay. How about this one?
Oh, and North Korea says they might want to participate in the Olympics. But then again, everyone in North Korea who can run fast or who can jump has already run past the checkpoints and jumped the borders to get out of that starving mess.
Okay. I would say edit. Yeah, it's too many words.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to over-explain.
He does
everything.
Can we rewrite that one for him?
Yeah, or you would just have to say everyone in North Korea who can run fast or jump has already left the country.
Right. Yeah, you don't need to say has already run past the border
and jumped over the
made a quick right gate. And then did a tactical
pole
maneuver.
Vaulted over the security.
See, Chip, I hope you're listening to this because these are good tips.
But then they'll need more jokes to fill the space.
Right.
They'll just do more by doing shorter jokes
and laughter.
More grandkid stuff.
It's also isn't North Korea now an one of Trump's allies? So I thought, why is he taking aim at North Korea?
Well, this was in 2018, so things have changed. You know, I guess this was a pre-Singapore summit.
Before they did nothing.
Yeah, I guess that happened.
Before they pretended like they had some kind of agreement over nothing.
I'm pretty sure that's like a joke, like a street joke.
That's a joke that I think has been made about Mexican people, actually.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. So he rewrote that and added words. Like you said, he was like, this joke could be wordier and about North Korea.
I got this joke from a racist Snapple cap.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are the ratings for that show?
Oh.
Does that matter?
It's going to be depressing if we find out.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, all the saved people are watching, I'll tell you that.
Right.
And he's also had his daughter on where it was a very painful thing. It's like, doesn't it suck? Basically, it was like the vibe of the interview. Yeah. And she's like, I know, Dad. I love you. And it's like, and that was my daughter, guys. Moving on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think most of his jokes are the kind of thing that you would see like written on a piece of driftwood in like a woman's kitchen or like a bumper sticker that like my grandchildren are more perfect than your grandchildren.
Right.
What do you think is the problem? Like if there was advice for conservatives on how to be funny, do you think it's their politics that actually prohibit them from having the empathy to create good jokes or?
Well, because the problem, I mean, a lot of comedy is punching up, right? That's what makes
good comedy. Right.
Yeah. That conservative Daily Show, he's like a, well-dressed, conservative middle-aged guy, and he's making fun of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and he just says her name in a, funny accent. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's just it's like punching down type thing. Just like culturally, you're being racist and racism isn't funny.
Well, yeah, I guess because maybe their humor is just about the culture war and it's just like, all we have to do is say liberals suck. And that's the North Star of all that humor or something.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's laziness on every side, you know,
for sure.
There are definitely words you can say that get a big reaction from a crowd. But
I've
wondered that. Why? Because they've tried the conservative Daily Show a few times over the years, and it always just crashes and burns and limps away.
So I guess if they get Adam Carolla and Nick DiPaolo to be like a rent a room, maybe then they'll have a shot.
Who's the host of this new? I don't even know.
I've never heard of him before. No. He didn't seem like a comedian, right?
No, he's just some talking head guy. And maybe he is a comedian, but not the kind of comedian people in comedy would have heard about.
Right.
He's like the funniest guy at the wherever. Choose your place.
Right. At the rally.
Well, Mike Huckabee has a new fan in me. Keep those North Korea jokes coming.
I feel like every one of his jokes should end with, maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's always like something.
No, maybe. All right. Maybe.
What else?
We'll workshop this.
Yeah.
What else
would be good? What else?
He seemed to say okay. He used the okay transition at least twice in those clips. So I think that's his transitional line. Like, it's like, okay, well, what about this new thing I'm going to say?
Right.
Yeah, because I mean, there is stuff to make fun of on the liberal side.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I think liberals make fun of ourselves, too, for being, I think, I don't know. Like, I think that you could poke fun at the sort of elitism or like.
Oh, yeah.
Or hypocrisy. Yeah,
exactly.
Is a good thing.
Selective outrage over certain things that we don't see exercised across all, you know, outrageable moments. Right.
But so maybe if conservatives did that within themselves, that would work better.
Right.
But then they're not going to do that.
Then they're making just lib humor.
Right.
Yeah.
That is a really good point.
I guess it's self-awareness.
And that is that's a really good point, because people who make fun of themselves, you know what I mean? It's like, oh,
self-deprecating.
Like Conan does a lot of Irish jokes because he's Irish, and it's
and I
totally
find them
cool.
Very offensive.
Yes. Jack O'Brien.
Yeah, we should know.
And so it goes.
You are not related to Conan.
I'm not related to Conan.
Nor our head writer, Matt O'Brien,
who is also not related to Conan.
Right. Nor my head writer Beckett when I ran Cracked, Dan O'Brien.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, just all the O'Briens unrelated to one another. It's basically Smith.
There was just one last name in Ireland.
Right. Yeah.
Or you probably are related, but
maybe way back.
Yeah.
I've never met another Sweeney.
Is that true? Yeah,
that's it. You're the only one, I think.
Sadly, very common.
Yeah, but I do think there needs to be at least a baseline where it's like, oh, this person can have a sense of humor about themselves, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They can talk shit, like.
So it feels like it's sort of, you know, like, oh, I'm an equal opportunity.
Right, exactly.
Ribber.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we're going to hear Mike Huckabee make jokes about his, like, bass playing. He's like, oh, I barely, yeah.
Their dog abuse.
Or those kids, his grandkids getting drunk at his house during spring break.
Right.
the 6-year-old.
Right.
Like common Russians.
Did he say his grandkids spent
spring break
at his house? Young. He was like, they were ages 1 through 6, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think spring break is like a elementary school thing. Too.
Oh, is it?
I think okay. so. Yeah, right. but yeah. I only right. know it from like high school and college.
That's
but I think there's like a spring break in public schools now.
Okay.
Maybe. Getting younger and younger.
I just remember because I went to like Lutheran school. There was always like the few days before Easter we'd get off. And that was about
it. Yeah, that was it, right?
Lutheran school.
Yeah.
Where?
In North Hollywood.
Oh, wow. Okay,
oh,
great.
You're local.
With my classmates, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Really?
They were grade below me. Yeah.
What are Lutherans known for? What's the joke on Lutherans?
I don't know.
Ask Garrison Keillor. That's right. They're a sturdy people? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
they love NPR.
Yeah, they liked NPR, and they didn't like that I threw up the West Side gang sign in a class photo, and I was reprimanded quite severely.
How did they know what that was?
My teacher just assumed I was throwing up gang signs as one of the few children of color in that class. They're like, that's a gang sign. I'm like, man, this West Side Connection album just came out, so why don't you bow down, Mrs. Hecox?
Yes.
Why can't you be more like the Olsen twins?
Yeah, who are never here at school because they're shooting a show.
Right.
Yeah, because they're billionaires, right?
I have a theory that child actors, well, I don't know what comes first in this case, but child actors, when they grow up, tend to be tiny.
Hmm.
So do you,
is it because their growth is stunted from all the work?
Exactly. Or are they chosen for these jobs?
Well, often because they're older than what they they're exactly. older than what they're playing, and so they have a 13-year-old who's playing seven.
I prefer to believe they're stunted by all the work.
Exactly, all the onset coffee.
Yes,
right.
And the methamphetamine pills.
Right,
right.
That's a long shoot.
That is interesting, though. Maybe it's their parents being short of stature causes them to want to put their children out in front of them.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And what about before that?
Right, exactly.
Mm. Most actors are small, though, too.
That's true.
I mean, in general, they're always...
And rock stars.
But I always assumed for actors, it was because they... Like, it's the one place where they can appear larger than life is, like, on the screen. Like, you can stand on an Apple box and, like, nobody's going to... know the difference. Yeah. So there's like something like extra attractive to the actor, like a shorter person.
Mm-hmm. I can be 5'10 in this movie rather than 5'7.
And men can wear high heels. And
Yeah. I mean, like Tom Cruise played Jack Reacher, a character from the book who is specifically described as like towering and being like,
oh, really?
Huge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was like, that's me. Right. That's a movie I belong in.
That sounds exhausting.
Is he like the producer on it? Did he make that thing happen? Probably.
Well, he's the producer on every movie.
Yeah, so but I'm wondering if he like read this and he's like, towering. Yeah. Finally, a guy who's like acknowledged in the source material as being a towering figure.
But it was like such a bad fit that I just know this because that's one of my dad's favorite like book series, like paperback series. Yeah. And like he was like, this blew it. Like it needed to be Liam Neeson. And
was your dad outraged?
Yeah.
He was outraged.
It wasn't like the
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. He's like, you and your Hollywood weirdos are ruining Jack Reacher series. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
What?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. I think it's really overrated to be an expert on everything. Like, there's kind of this, I think it's really cool to say, like, I don't know sometimes. Yeah. And I feel like we are so trained to just, like, make something up to be like, oh, I know everything. I have to be an expert on everything because we live in a world where information's so, like, transferred so quickly and so accessible. But, like, that bugs the shit out of me. Like, when people just cannot say, you know what? I don't know. I don't have enough knowledge about this thing, or like, I don't have enough expertise on this thing, so I don't know. And instead it's like, I know everything. I have to know everything. I think that shit is so fucking overrated.
So actual wisdom is very in.
Mm. Yeah.
Admitting what you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think we're such an information heavy era and everything's so readily available, it almost feels like, well, all you'd have to do is look it up to know. So that we feel like maybe we feel this pressure that, like, well, then maybe I should know everything because I could find out most things instantly.
I do. I think that for me, there's almost kind of, I'm a little hypocritical on it, because if I'm talking to someone like over text, or this was back in the day when I was in law school, over GChat, where if you said something and someone didn't know what you were talking about and they'd be like, what is that? Typing it into the thing with you. And I'd be like, you can just type that
right
into Google.
Here, let me move that 5 inches above this window for you.
But so I guess like resourcefulness is like important, but like also if you're not going to be resourceful about it, don't just make shit up. Just be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Totally. Yeah. I feel like the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. And
anything, right.
And
is that a Confucius quote?
No, it's
from Bazooka Joe.
Actually, I think that is like Socrates or something like that.
Yeah.
Like the wise people know how dumb they are or something like that. But, and I mean, that even goes to like the fact that you went to law school and like people who get an education. I think a quote I heard about like why a college education is valuable from somebody is that it actually humbles you, like, because you realize,
for sure,
because it you have to like know a lot to realize like that there's just this entire universe of information out there that you do not know shit about.
Well, like, and even I went to law school and I practiced law for 2 years, and like that I was bad at being a lawyer, and like I like learning that and being like, oh, this is just not for me, because A, I really hate it, and B, like, I'm just not good at this kind of job. Mm-hmm. Like, learning that there are things that you're not good at and that's okay is like, I don't know, I feel like that's as important as learning about empathy.
Yeah. Well, it also helps you sort of come in touch with things that are actually like you are good at, so then you can kind of look at those things and be like, oh, well, I know I'm not, oh, yeah, wait, I actually have these other skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do feel like people are, like, the way that conspiracy theories are I don't know if they're at an all-time high, but they're at least as influential as they've ever been. I feel like people now are more likely to overestimate how much they know than they ever have been. Like,
right.
I think we're really bad at knowing what we don't know as a society, and that's probably a result of the internet, and probably says something about our overall wisdom as a culture. So we're fucked.
Yeah, we're pretty fucked.
What is a myth? What's something people...
I think a myth that I recently debunked for myself anyway was that it is bad and or dangerous and or depressing to travel to Russia.
Whoa.
I just got back a few weeks ago. I was in Russia for a week. I went to St. Petersburg and I went to Moscow, and I travel a lot. It was one of my favorite trips I've ever done.
Really?
It was great. The people were friendly. A lot of things are in English. A lot of people speak English. Easy to get around. Granted, I'm a straight white male
who is not a
journalist or a dissident. That being said, it was, you know, when you talk to the people who live there, they're very aware of, you know, all the stuff that's not great of it. But it's so I was just so impressed with Moscow, and I can't wait to go back. It's just it's vibrant and fun and weird.
Is it still one of the most expensive cities in Europe?
Well, that's maybe the sub myth of it is that you definitely can go there and live like a sultan,
of course,
spend $1,000 a night in a hotel and all that. But I found everything that was in my wheelhouse of things that I wanted to do and buy were much less expensive.
The daily lives,
yeah,
of regular. Day-to-day Russian people.
Yeah. I mean, no, granted, you know, there's the wages and there's, you know, everything's relative with medical care and taxes and all that kind of stuff. But no, as far as being a visitor, I was really prepared for, you know, first of all, you know, getting scammed and being dangerous and all that. None of that kind of stuff happened. But right. Everything was much, much less expensive than I thought it was going to be. And I can't wait to go back.
Interesting. Yeah. Hearing about somebody going to Russia was like a group of people I know who are like entertainers. And it was a mixed group, people of color, gay people.
Yeah.
And they had not the best time there.
Yeah, no, and I'm aware
that it was dangerous. And not to say that you know, invalidates your experience, but I think I think any place can be many different things to many.
No, absolutely. No, and I understand that there's some privilege involved and whatnot, but, you know, I definitely felt like, you know, the people there are also aware of that stuff, and the people that I met, you know, were glad to talk about and acknowledge all the, you know, all the bad stuff. You know, I was debating about, well, do I want to support this,
right, sure,
you know, with my money and with my travel and all that. But I feel that being able to connect with people and have that kind of one-on-one diplomacy is valuable. And to be able to talk about, you know, I was talking to people, they couldn't imagine that a comedian would go on television and say the president's a liar or right. make fun of the president's voice and all that. And so, you know, it does also make you appreciate for, you know, as much as our democracy is falling apart, you know, that we still have that right here for at least another hour.
Right. That's amazing. You really like travel the world. Really.
I'm running from myself.
Is there anything that jumped out to you other than the people being friendly as something you weren't expecting?
I kind of wasn't expecting as much Soviet kitsch that they know that that's what people want to see. There was in Moscow, there's a museum of Soviet arcade games that's really popular, where you can go and play these, you know, incredibly boxy, you know, there's a lot of like shooting and there were actually a lot fewer ripoffs than I thought. I thought they were just like done, you know, they would have done like Comrade Pac-Man or something like that.
Right.
But some of these machines, you know, had like 200 buttons, and you were supposed to like push one to match something that showed up. And so,
oh, really?
Yeah, some of the controls were crazy. And then there was this pinball game that I was playing, which I thought were like, oh, that's a nice, like old timey pinball game with wooden flippers and lights and a counter that kind of scrolled up. And then I looked at the display above it, and it was from 1994.
Oh, so, wow. That's amazing.
So stuff like that. And just, you know, there are tours that cater to that. And there's other stuff that kind of caters to that old Soviet kitsch. But it was also just interesting to see, you know, how much Soviet stuff they either still embrace or that they just kind of don't mind. Like, you'll go into a subway station and there's a big mosaic of Lenin.
Right.
And also the subway stations were also, I think, super unexpected, just how freaking gorgeous, especially in Moscow. I took some videos where I was panning down and you would think, oh, you're obviously in a palace or a fancy hotel ballroom. And then you pan down and the train pulls in and people are coming out.
Just wow.
Absolutely stunning palaces underground.
Huh. Yeah, so
also vodka. The vodka was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, vodka like in fast food places.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
No,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, vodka not like in fast food. I didn't go to a McDonald's. We can talk about McDonald's and stuff later, I know. But I did go to a couple places that were like fast order, sort of fast casual places.
Yeah.
And yeah, you could get a super ice cold glass of vodka with a lemon like with your burger.
Wow.
So that was cool too.
Vodka with lemon. That's interesting that the Soviet stuff is almost like part of a brand that's been like incorporated. Is it? Does it have all the late capitalism trappings that we have over here?
But you know, it's interesting. You, especially St. Petersburg, you wouldn't know. St. Petersburg just reminded me of, oh, it's a very pleasant sort of Western European town. Like, it doesn't look, you know, when you talk to people and you understand, you know, what's going on behind the scenes and all that. But you wouldn't think, oh, I'm in a formerly communist country or I'm in a place that. You know, other than maybe, again, some of the subway decor and the fact that the subways are so deep under the ground because they wanted to withstand a nuclear blast.
Right.
There was hardly anything you would notice that felt like, oh my God, this is, you know, this where the Soviet Union stuff happened. I mean, even being in Red Square,
right.
You know, there's this huge building that's been turned into a mall. And
there's like ads up and stuff.
Not as much of that in Red Square. It's still pretty. It's still pretty.
Doesn't look like
reverent.
Times Square.
Yeah, no, it's not like. There's a big Coke bottle. No, nothing. Not like that. But yeah, I took a lot of pictures of the fast food chains, the Western fast food chains. Not because I was so surprised to see them, but just because they were in the Russian writing
Cyrillic.
But they were still in the font and color of what you expect from the logo. So that was weird to see, like, oh right, they also have fonts and
right.
You know, so that kind of stuff.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I think you've sold me on traveling there, because just the Soviet arcade games, the idea that you know, their technology was evolving in a completely different like silo from ours, and absolutely, like what video games could have turned out to look
like. Well, it's also
like,
fun because on the signage they have for all the games there, which you can play all of the games that they have on display, they'll also say who made it and what they were usually doing. And so it was, you know, this is a game where you get to hunt ducks, and it was made by people who make, you know, radar for shooting down missiles, or, you know, there's like almost all of them had like military applications, and they were just doing this while they were waiting for the next, you know, military order.
Those are the video games you could have been playing today if Rocky hadn't won that fight.
which might come up on Sunday show.
It just might.
Lacey, you asked me, like, did you hear about that dad who called the police and said the child was abducted to get their car back? And I said, what?
Yes.
What? Well, just what? What happened? What is going on?
So they actually don't have the man's name listed, which was so disappointing to me because I want to like follow him on Instagram. I want to like be his best friend. But basically, the Oakland Police Department and the California Highway Patrol issued an Amber Alert notifying the media on their social media accounts and everything to help find a 3-year-old girl. And this girl is cute. This little girl is very cute. I will be looking for her. But early Sunday, not that I don't look for y'all ugly kids.
Wait,
I look for
like, damn. Weren't you against Amber Alerts?
Listen, don't.
You're like, I turn them shits off.
Don't do that. Yeah, I turn my Amber Alerts off, okay?
But you turned them back on. I remember. Didn't you say you turned them back on?
Yeah, I turned them back on. For all intents and purposes, for the court of public opinion, I turned my Amber Alerts back on.
Okay.
And I'm looking for every Rachel and Tiffany. I'm looking for all of them. But basically, so the girls, early Sunday, the officers arrested the girl's father on suspicion of making a fake police report. According to the Oakland police, the man told officers his daughter was kidnapped so that they would find his stolen car more quickly.
Wait, so the whole... Oh, so his thing was like, I think someone stole my daughter with my car?
So he basically knew his car got stolen. And he was like, if I report my car stolen, like, the police just about to be asleep. They about to be eating donuts. You know what I mean? Kicking it. But if I say, like, my cute little daughter in the car, then they'll actually look for the car more quickly. It's a gray Mercedes-Benz. I mean, it's an okay car. Someone comments and was like,
new
Mercedes isn't even foreign no more. That's a citizen.
Which body style?
It looked like a C-Class, to be honest. It don't even really look like something.
Did it have a car seat, though?
Ooh, I truly do not know the answer to that. I feel like there was probably nothing in the car that was indicative of his daughter being there. So,
That's a bold move. If I was a dad, I don't know if I could play around like with my daughter's safety, even knowing she's fine, to be like, oh, she's kidnapped.
Right. It worked, though. They got the car back.
What? Oh, they did?
Yes.
Oh, is that when they're like, where's the kid at? And they're
what? Yeah, exactly.
They're like, I just
then
boosted
this
car.
Then he was like, oh, damn, here she is right here. That's so crazy.
Wait, is she in a room?
Oh. See, that's one of those lies that you can't even try to cover up later. Like, what was he thinking the long game was on this? Like, okay, I'm going to get the car back. They're going to come in and be like, oh, we didn't get your daughter. You're going to be like, okay, well, at least I got my car. Thank y'all so much.
Right. Y'all have a great afternoon. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay?
And then close the door and lock it.
Look
come
at the
on,
people.
TT. Like,
I think they're still here. Shit.
She's like, Daddy, can I come out the closet now?
Shut up, TT. What the fuck did I say?
Daddy, I want some juice.
Shut your ass up. I'll take you in the Mercedes in a minute.
Oh. Yeah, he didn't think that went all the way through. He truly didn't. But now he's facing felony charges.
Damn.
Wait, what is the charge? Just a
filing
false,
a fake police report.
I mean, and even that, like a fake missing child. Yeah, because I'm sure a lot of police resources, the second they say a child is missing.
Oh, yeah, they go into full action. The child is so cute, so I know they were looking extra hard for her.
If you were the police chief, you would be like, let me see the photo first.
I'm just saying, that's a photo that you put that on the news. People are like, oh, yes, we got to find that one.
Yeah, we have
you
know a bias towards
they don't put all nice the girls. People. All the girls don't make it to the news, honey, okay? Only the real lookers with the promising futures. But
well,
which is
please, if I ever go missing, put a nice photo up of me. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Have me looking cute.
Should we just use your Twitter avatar? Which photo would you like to prefer? Just officially, in case you do go missing, we can have an agreed upon photo that we put out there for
whichever
you.
Whichever one, just make sure there's nice lighting. Okay. Because that can always alter a photo. You ever take a photo and you're like, I knew I looked good, but damn.
Right.
The lighting got me together.
Yeah. And the one time, I think I took a selfie
when I used to do production, I was like, yeah, let me get this selfie real quick. I'm like, this is a dramatic. And I didn't know I had cheeks.
I tell everybody, turn toward, you always want to put the light behind the camera, baby. Put that sun, even if you have to squint, that's going to be okay. You put the light behind the camera, and you'll get a lovely photo.
Beautiful. You don't want to be blown out. The last thing I want to say is I'm kind of upset that they didn't release his name, because I want to help this man. I want to link him up with whoever Justy's people are, you know, who got him off for this same charge.
Wow.
Look, it's not right.
Yeah.
So listen, if you want to adjust these people out there, you hear this. Y'all go help my mans out in Oakland.
I'm not going to touch that one. All right, well, let's ideate on that during the break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Let's talk about this new poll from a social media outlet that I will say the name of shortly. It broke America down into 38 different accents and ranked them by sexiness, according to a poll of, I think it was like, they have 1.5 million social media followers, and they surveyed, I think, all of them. The group is called Big Seven, and the answers they found were somewhat surprising.
Who do they? Okay, so they're asking people
on their social.
What's your sexiest accent?
Yeah,
what do you think
I think they gave them a list and asked them to, you know, order it.
Mm-hmm.
Boston was ranked number 2 as the number 2 sexiest, which made me wonder if, I don't know, holy if it was shit, a more women than men answering, because I just, you
think
never,
more women like a Boston, a man's Boston accent?
A man's Boston accent. Well, if you think about, like, I always use movies as like my proxy for understanding like the American unconscious, and like movies, you've had like Mark Wahlberg, and like it's like a rite of passage for like a male lead to come up with a Boston accent, like play a Bostonian. Whereas the only women who have Boston accents are portrayed as like townies, and you know,
I'm trying to think of the last time I was like, oh, the town, when like Blake Lively was like a Southie,
yeah, and even then it's like portrayed as like a
rough,
a heart,
but
a,
hey, maybe this
hardship.
Is what this might be more telling what people are into,
right?
It's not about the standard. I was like, yo, you know, I like that.
So number one was Texas, which makes sense because you can kind of. The
people like the southern drawl.
Yeah, if you're using
drawl.
Movies as a proxy, like there's been sexy men with Texas accents and sexy women. But Boston was surprising me. Philly being number eight was really surprising to me.
Well, also, seventh is Hawaiian.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you must have such an ear for nuanced accents to even be able to rank these, right? Because if you told me, oh, can you, like, between a northwestern accent and a like a youper, I'm like, what's a youper?
Right. Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, this does not seem to be the most scientific of polling. I mean, it's possible that people they were polling happened to live in those places.
Right.
But also, I think they probably were asking, do you think Hawaiian people are sexy? Not necessarily the accent.
Right. Yeah, like, people are just picturing the...
They're like, yeah, I remember I was in Maui, and these really cool guys came up to me, and they're like, hey, get the fuck out of here, howley. And I was like, it was so hot.
Who are you?
But... and also, like, sexy's so subjective.
Sure.
Like, there's no way to really rank this shit.
And I think this is important scientific work that we're talking about here, guys.
Yeah, look, I think I'm just mad because Valley, California Valley's 46.
Yeah.
What
I mean,
was
first
last?
Of all, it's...
Long Islander. That's
Long
fucked
Island.
Up.
Yeah.
I like that.
Long Islander. That's fucked. Yeah.
Pennsylvania Dutch. I mean, yeah, like...
Pennsylvania Dutch... Yeah.
Oh, those sexy Amish? No, that didn't make it higher.
Yeah.
I mean, what you think about an accent is completely subjective. I find a Southern accent attractive, but I lived in Kentucky when I was going through puberty. I'm sure those two things are like related in some way. But and it's also, not the methodology isn't strong here, but I do find accents very interesting. So
which is odd. But they have Chicano on here, but there's no like is there like African American vernacular?
Yeah, that's another question. Is like they don't have cultural; they just break it down regionally.
Well, just Chicano is
the region of Chicano.
Yeah, that's I'm like that's very specific.
Oh right, yeah.
But okay, whoever did this poll, hit me up.
Yeah,
because I'll rearrange this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if I could describe my accent, I assume it would be very high on the list.
Yes,
just sort of generic Midwestern.
That is on the list.
Is it?
Yeah, they said, I think it's like
General American.
General American.
General American.
He was my favorite general.
Yes.
I like General seconds. Mills. General Mills I was a very fan of. Yes. Made a good cereal.
General American was ranked 32nd on the list.
Right in the middle. That's what it should be.
Between Atlanta and Hudson Valley. Like, what's a Hudson Valley accent?
Oh, you don't know the Hudson Valley?
I know it exists. I just don't know what it sounds like.
Sound like that's beaver trapping? Industry.
Sounds like they'd rather be in New York City.
Right.
Yeah. Stephen Colbert was the example they used for the general American, but I think it's anybody who speaks on TV.
I guess also, Zeitgang, help me understand, right? What's the difference between a Cincinnati accent
and a Southern Ohio accent?
Right. Or like, what's the New Mexican accent?
Yeah. It's interesting.
Like if you talk like Walter White?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Jesse Pinkman? Is that New Mexican?
All right. That's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.